In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today is called Good Shepherd Sunday because of today's gospel, because of our Lord's goodness to us. And this gospel gives us much hope, but it is a hope which is dependent on how we deal with the things of God. Let us remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is God's representation of himself to us, God's manifestation of the divine to mankind in a way which is most appropriate for mankind to understand and to use. So the understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ is going to help us to have the greatest understanding of what God is. And it's the only way in which we can get to know God, through Jesus Christ. Now, we Catholics call ourselves good Catholics, but how many of us even take the time to really get to know our Lord? The only way you're going to get to know our Lord is if you read about our Lord. Read good books explaining what our Lord did, explaining his character, explaining his goodness, explaining his doctrine. And in reading these good books, you will have a foundation of knowledge. And it's from that foundation of knowledge that we get the love coming. Because you cannot love that which you don't know. So in this idea of how good a Catholic we are, we need to put into our examination of conscience, and that is, how often do I actually read anything about our Lord? Do I even know our Lord's life? Yes, we've seen little snippets from the Gospels because it's been read to us at Mass and this. But have you ever gone through those Gospels to find out who our Lord is? To see the gentleness with which our Lord dealt with souls? To get to know our Lord? If we do not, we neglect to get to know God, since our Lord Jesus Christ is God's manifestation of his divinity to mankind in a way in which we can understand. So neglecting to know our Lord Jesus Christ, we neglect to know God. And neglecting to know God, we neglect the means to learn to love him. So there is a very important duty which we need to do a good examination of conscience over, and that is, do I even know our Lord? And if I'm actually taking the necessary steps to get to know our Lord. So our Lord is God's revelation of himself to mankind. But it is our Lord Jesus Christ is also God's example to mankind of how to get back to him, get back to God. As St. Peter says in today's epistle, he gave us an example for us to follow. Because in following our Lord Jesus Christ, we will follow what is required for us to get to know God and to love God. Now, this following of our Lord is very, very important. It doesn't mean to say that we've got to go walking around Jerusalem in sandals and, you know, dressed in a white gown like a Lord, long hair and all the rest of it. No, he wants us to live the life that you have transformed by the knowledge of the faith. Transformed by what the faith teaches you and what the faith indicates to you how you should act and how you should live. That is why the great kings can be saints and the poorest pauper can also be a saint. It's not in the exterior circumstances that we find holiness. It's in how we deal with those exterior circumstances that we find true holiness. And so we must learn to follow our Lord's example in our daily lives. That requires that we know what the faith teaches. That requires that we understand what the law that our Lord gave us teaches us and shows us what to do. And so we who call ourselves good Catholics because we do go to Mass on Sunday, the true Mass, we do say the Rosary, yet is there a true love of God in the soul? That can be easily checked by how do you deal with God's law. If we have to go to confession very, very often because we do things, serious sins against God, often without thinking, how can you truly say that we love our Lord? Whilst in Australia, I remember going to visit an elderly lady who was in an old age home. So very dear soul, managed to find after quite some time actually. And I'd organised with her that I would come once a month to bring her Holy Communion, because she was 7 hours north of Melbourne, north-west. And so the first time I brought her Holy Communion, she was very devout, of course, and I turned to her and I said, "Would you like to go to confession?" Tears welled up in her eyes, and she said to me, "Father, why would I hurt him if I love him so much?" How do you answer that? I just kind of turned around and said, "Well, you don't need confession," and gave her Holy Communion, right? But can we say likewise? Because if we do not work at learning to love God and then loving him in reality, well, then the faith becomes something which is vain, something which doesn't bring fruit. So we need to actually put this love of God into practice in our daily lives. So I encourage you, my dear faithful, it's not just how many million rosaries you've said when you face God at your judgment. Of course you're going to be asked, "Did you say your daily rosary?" Because Our Lady told us we have to. She had Fatima told us to say your daily rosary, right? But it's not that that is the most important. What is the most important is how you live your life. How do you correspond with our Lord's laws? You see, if our Lord is the most perfect expression of the divinity, and our Lord is the most perfect way of getting back to God, it is evident that everything is summarized in our Lord. And to get back to the Father, one only has to be united with our Lord, because he has the most perfect way of honoring his Father and loving his Father, because he is God. He is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and he knows what infinite love of his Father is. And he gives us the example through his life so that we may follow that example. So now, in my daily life, I have to express that life of Christ. But to do that, I have to be a member of the mystical body of Christ, as you know. So it requires that I've been baptized and that I'm in the state of grace. And so I need to live in that state of grace, protecting the state of grace. But not only am I to live in the state of grace, I am to follow the example, being united to our Lord in this mystical body of Christ. And this union we make with Christ is incredibly profound. St. Augustine says there is one man which is made up of all men, and all men make one man. And that one man is Jesus Christ, united with the rest of his mystical body. And so on the last day, on the day of judgment, our Lord, with all the members of the mystical body of Christ, those who have been part of his life and followed through, the whole lot would be presented to his Father as the perfect, adequate adoration of the Father and the perfect, adequate reparation for all sin. But you cannot be part of our Lord Jesus Christ, his mystical body, if we do not follow his laws and we kick against his laws and we just go off on a tangent on our own. We have to synchronize our lives with that of our Lord. In other words, there must be some way in which our Lord can identify in you his own life. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about. So in other words, today's gospel, or today's epistle is very beautiful too. It says, God gave us an example that we may follow. We may follow the example of our Lord. And he says, when he was reviled, he did not revile. When he was, you know, when they argued against him, he didn't fight them. It was that meekness, that gentleness that we find in the Sacred Heart. And our Lord wants us to follow that. Now, there are two very, very important virtues that we must practice. We have to. Of course, there's the virtues of faith, hope, and charity, without which the whole of the faith is unhinged, right? But it's not difficult to understand what they are. Have a look how sin caused problem. How did it happen? What is the damage? You first have pride. Lucifer, who turned around and said, I will not serve. Who is God to tell me what to do? I don't think it's a good idea. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. Just like the two-year-old throwing his little tantrum, I'm not going to do it. I mean, that's the oldest thing in the book. Pride. But that pride expresses itself in an action. And that action is disobedience. So in his expression of his pride, he then disobeyed God's law. You get exactly the same thing with Adam and Eve. The whole lot started through pride. When the devil said to Eve, no, you won't die as God said. Here's an incredible liar. Because yes, death came into the world because of that sin. But the devil's a liar, an inveterate liar, and he's been a liar ever since. What did he say to Eve? No, you won't die. But God knows, if you eat of that tree, you'll be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. You see the pride that comes in here? You'll be like God. Oh yes, I want to be like God. I want to be something great. I want to know something the others don't. We all struggle with that one. I want to know. I want to. And that inward sin in the soul of the pride is going to express itself in the exterior through a disobedience to God's law, to go against something that's required. And so she disobeyed God's law. And in so doing, she infected the whole of the human race that was going to issue from her with original sin. So these two things are absolutely key to the spiritual life. And so the way to fix the problem is to go against those two sins, those two faults. We need to practice pure humility, and we need to practice obedience. Without that, there is no way of fixing the problem and getting back. There is no way of being like Christ. There's no way in which our Lord can find his own life somehow in yours if we don't have those two virtues. Because our Lord came on this earth, the ultimate possible humility. I mean, he's God, creator of all, through whom everything was created. Through him, with him, by him, and in him, right? Everything was created. And what do we find in our Lord coming on this earth? He comes as an infant. The most, what's the name, needy of creatures is the little baby. It can't do anything for itself. All it can do is make a hell of a racket to let mum know it still exists and it's got problems. Either its nappy needs cleaning or it's got a problem in the tummy, it needs feeding. All right? But they can do nothing for themselves. Our Lord wanted to become this tiny little infant, completely dependent on Our Lady and St. Joseph. And in the humility of our Lord, putting up with the insults he got from the Sanhedrin, putting up with the incredible injustice, the incredible insult from Herod, then of course the injustice of being crucified for no sin on his part, for never having done anything wrong. The humility of our Lord is exceptional. It's the greatest possible that a human being could ever practice. But how much humility does our Lord see in your soul? Do we have that same virtue which resonates with our Lord so much? Not really. Not really. How do we know? Because how often we offend our Lord. How easily we offend our Lord. We have that pride. And in obedience. How much obedience does our Lord see in your soul? Do you have any that can resonate with his beautiful obedience to his Father, obedience to Our Lady, to Saint Joseph, to creatures that he made, and obedience even to the injustice of what was done to him? That obedience is so important. It is so important that when you look at things in reality, it is the most important thing that parents have to teach their children. Because without that, there's no way they're going to get on the right track. Teach them obedience. You see, a young child doesn't sin through 6th and 9th commandments, 7th and 8th commandments, lying and stealing and this, that, and next. He doesn't sin through murdering, this, that, and next. I mean, it's totally beyond him. The sin that the child commits is a question of obedience, is a disobedience. And it's very interesting to note, St. Thomas Aquinas teaches that when this infant mind first kicks into gear and first understands consequences of its actions and responsibility, St. Thomas says its first conscious act is either an act of virtue or a mortal sin. Yes. It's either an act of virtue or it's a serious disobedience. Because that's the only thing he gets to do. So it's either yes, mom, or it's a no. There you got it. So the most important thing that you have to train in a child, as parents doing a job, is to teach them how to be obedient. Train them to bend their little wills to legitimate authority. Because that legitimate authority is ultimately God. And when he's been taught to be obedient to his parents, it doesn't have problem with obedience, so therefore it can obey its teachers later on, obey the law of the land, and it'll obey God in the end, because it's been trained. But if the seed has never been put into that little soul, you've got nothing. It's not going to develop into a great virtue, because it's never been sown. You might say, oh, but Father, isn't that a little bit exaggerated? Just have a look how those who are out to destroy its souls are working. What are they doing? Destroying the children's souls. Yes, trying to smear it full of smut and all the rest of that's also true. But the first thing is that disobedience. Who's mom and dad to tell me what to do? I'll just have to go and do my own. Or I'll get the police or whatever. Right? I mean, these are realities. Remember, one of the cases I came across one day, my mother told me about this. The kid had been at school, and at the school they were taught, your parents can't tell you what to do, and if they do, you just phone the helpline, police helpline. So this kid was told by mum, you do this thing, and he said, I'm going to phone the police. Mum said, okay, let me help you. This is the phone number. She phoned the number. It wasn't the police, it was her husband. He was at work. Hello, Mr. Police Officer. I have a little youngster here who thinks that he can go disobediently against his parents and he wants to phone the police to ask for help. So, to the police officer, you look after it, please. So the dad on the other side, yes, son, what is wrong? I'm phoning because my mum is mean. Is that true? That's a very serious thing. Why is she mean? What? She told me I can't play with my games. Oh, but how old are you? Oh, I'm four, five, whatever. Well, son, I tell you one thing. If you don't want the police to come down there and belt you on the bum, you better just smarten up, because your mum has every right to tell you that, and don't do this again. Yes, officer, I'll never do it again. Young. Thank goodness the mother had enough smarts to push this in the right way. The kid never tried it. But how many children have got mothers that are that sharp? Or fathers that are that sharp? So what do they do? Push them to go against obedience, because once you've got that disobedience trained in a soul, it'll disobey God's law. And eventually I say, who do you think you are, God or something? And I'll all have to say, yes, I am, by the way. But to what detriment to the soul? And so parents who don't teach their children simple obedience are basically putting them square on the slide to hell. I wonder why there's so much mess in the world today. One doesn't have to look too far. One only just has to look. Open your eyes. But it's not just the child that has to obey. You have to obey. The training of the child is only putting the seed in the ground. You're the one that's supposed to have the flourishing virtues, the beautiful tree of virtues producing fruit of sanctity. You're supposed to have it as adults. But if you've never learned to obey, what are you going to do? It'll be like that fruit tree that our Lord came to get fruit from. There was nothing. So what did he do? He cursed the tree, and it withered and died. So my dear faithful, we have a very serious obligation to know God, which means the obligation to learn about our Lord Jesus Christ is a serious one, and we must not neglect it. And therefore, we need to spend some time reading a good book on the faith that is then explained to you the things of the faith, the life of Christ, and how to do things properly. But I know. You say to the, and it's not just the youngsters. You can say that to the youngsters of last century, you should be reading a good book. None of them do it. You got to play on your little gadget rather than that. I mean, it's insane. You go onto the metro. I was on the metro not so long ago, coming up here to Mass. There was not a single person in that carriage, and it was peak hour traffic. Of course, they kind of try and stay away from each other and this and that. But there was not a single person in that carriage or on the platform that was not with his nose stuck on his phone. I looked for it to see, is there one? No. Maybe somewhere else, on another platform somewhere else, maybe it was, but I never saw one. But you try and tell somebody like that, you should read a good book. Yeah. Rather, it's much easier to go and play with a game. Much easier to go inquisitively, oh, I got to know stuff the others don't know. But I encourage you, my dear faithful, get hold of a good Catholic book and read it. Read it. There is one which might be of use to you. And don't pull out your phones to type in what it is. Just remember it. It's called This Tremendous Lover. It's by Father Eugene Boylan, who was a monk, a Cistercian monk, absolutely brilliant. So rattle two sticks, might's name Peter's canes if you have to, tell him you want the book, right? It's called This Tremendous Lover, and you will see how much you don't know about the Sacred Heart, about the gentleness of the heart of our Lord. And then, of course, read good books that are going to teach you the virtues, the practice of the virtues. Lives of the saints can be good, but very often they're so hyped up that everybody just becomes disenchanted and watch them. Oh, I'm never going to be able to do that. And so you just read and throw it aside. But books that give you something that show you real virtue and teach you how to practice real virtue, those are very, very valuable. In this way, my dear faithful, you'll be able to get to heaven. One only has to look at Our Lady. Very often we think, you know, because she got the Immaculate Conception, she couldn't sin. No, She could sin just as easily as Adam and Eve could sin, who didn't have original sin. But the beauty of Our Lady and the virtue of Our Lady is found in the fact that she loved her God with such a profound love that she never wanted to offend him. So in other words, it wasn't a vacuum, oh, couldn't do it, so therefore there's nothing. On the contrary, it was full to the fullest it could possibly be. It was a conscious decision never to offend our Lord. How? She knew our Lord. She knew our Lord. Without that knowledge of our Lord, it's difficult to have the love of God. And please God, on the day that you will die, you'll be able to say to the priest, Father, why would I have hurt him if I truly loved him so much? May our Lord bless you all. Mother, with your loving Son, and bless us each and every one.